From Capital Public Radio in Sacramento, this is Insight. I'm Beth Duncan in for Beth Ryak. California lawmakers have spent months crafting a new approach to how the Capitol handles harassment complaints in the wake of the We Said Enough campaign. Last week, the Joint Subcommittee of the Assembly and Senate unveiled a proposal on how the Capitol should handle harassment complaints, and they discussed it at a hearing yesterday. Joining us today to talk about these developments is Pamela Lopez. She's a lobbyist and partner at K Street Consulting. She's also the president of an organization called Work Equity. Pamela, welcome to Insight.
Good morning, Beth.
So tell me, please, what is Work Equity?
Work Equity seeks to empower survivors, those who have stepped forward as part of the Me Too movement, so that we can have a voice in the efforts to change our workplace culture to end sexual harassment.
Is it different than the We Said movement?
Well, I can tell you that Work Equity is focused on making sure that survivors collectively have a voice in next steps to address changing our workplace culture. I was encouraged by a number of policy advocates with whom I had worked over the course of the fall, friends from organizations like the California Employment Lawyers Association and equal rights advocates who said, you know, I've been working in this space a long time, and what's different about this moment, what's different about this Me Too moment is that we see survivors, those like you, Pamela, but many others who are starting to give voice to their own experience and step into this policy space. And we hope we don't lose this moment to sort of organize those collective voices. And so our goal is to use grassroots organizing strategies, and we have, to identify all women or many women and even some men who have stepped forward and said, yeah, I've experienced sexual harassment or sexual assault within the sphere of my professional life, and I have something to say about it, but I'm not a professional. How can I learn to operate in the political and policy and media space and help be the voice for change?
When you take a look back at the We Said Enough letter from October 2017, does it feel like this proposed system is going to meet the call for change?
I think that there are a lot of elements in the system that has been proposed that are great and that we should celebrate, particularly the focus on changing workplace culture to prevent sexual harassment before it happens. I'm thrilled that the subcommittee did the hard work of developing a vision statement, if you will, describing what a workplace culture that equally values all of its employees and is free from sexual harassment looks like. And I'm thrilled that they took the time to envision tools that help colleagues and coworkers engage in what might be some uncomfortable conversations to address potential problems before they turn into instances of major sexual harassment. So opportunities, for example, for a person who feels that they have experienced sexual harassment or is right on the cusp of potentially experiencing sexual harassment to request a mediated conversation with the person that they're concerned about. So often, those of us who have experienced sexual harassment feel like it went so far because we're stuck and there's no way that we can sort of address it early without being retaliated against. And so much in this proposal shows that the legislature is serious about making it easier and doing all that they can to help someone say, hey, wait a minute, I think that this could become a problem and let's just talk about it. No harm, no foul afterwards, but let's talk about it to make sure that it doesn't continue to be an issue.
So what are some of the parts, taking a look at the fine print, that you might want to keep an eye on as this complaint system develops and moves forward?
Well, I talked a little bit about the opportunity for those who are experiencing sexual harassment or feel that they may experience sexual harassment to request a mediated conversation. That's that's incredibly important, being able to feel like one can engage in a conversation in a safe space where they will not be retaliated against as soon as behavior begins is so important. Because remember, what may be sexual harassment to one person may or may not be to another person, and it depends on the relationship that you have there with your coworker. And so it's important for all of us in the workplace to be able to clearly articulate and establish our own boundaries and establish what makes us feel comfortable or uncomfortable without feeling pressured or mocked or laughed at or like we're going to be, you know, an outsider in the office. And so the opportunity to request a conversation where I, for example, could say, hey, listen, you know, I hug my best friend, but I'm just not comfortable hugging you in a workplace setting. And I hope you can understand that. And it doesn't mean that I don't like you or I don't like working with you. And we can move on from there. Is really important. There's also a focus on identifying any behavior that might reduce a culture of equality or respect or civility as a potential source for conversation. Even if something doesn't rise to the level of being classified as sexual harassment under the law, the proposal put forward by the legislature identifies anything that might start to erode a culture of equality and mutual respect for all people in a workplace as a potential source for conversation.
As this begins, Pamela, are you used the word comfortable. So I would ask you, are you comfortable trusting the system as it starts to move forward? And is there enough transparency in what we're seeing now, at least in the initial process?
There are also places where work equity would encourage more transparency. And specifically, the proposal with regard to the way that lawmakers will oversee the behavior of other lawmakers could use greater transparency. And that's, I think, you know, if we could raise one question and ask for greater clarity about what the legislature has proposed, or say this is a place where we could continue to refine what has been proposed, that's the spot that we would identify. So the proposal calls on an independent body of experts to investigate behavior should an allegation of sexual harassment be made. And that independent body of experts reviews the behavior and then makes an expert recommendation back to what the proposal calls, in quotes, the decision maker in the legislature. And it's not quite clear who that decision maker is, but the proposal states very clearly that the legislature will retain ultimate authority about what to do with the recommendation that the independent body has made. Now, if we are talking about an employee of the legislature, that ultimately means that legislators, their bosses, their employing body are responsible for making a determination about what they're going to do with the facts that the independent body has brought back. But if we're talking about an elected legislator against whom an allegation has been made, that means that the independent body is bringing a recommendation back to their peers. And then their peers are going to ultimately decide what they do with that recommendation. And the proposal doesn't say very much about whether there's any transparency. So does the public know if the legislature ultimately determines to take a different action than that that was recommended by the independent body of experts? We don't know that yet. And we would be concerned if there is an independent body of experts, which is great, that's reporting back to the legislature that then can make a very private determination about what to do with one of their own peers, and there's no public oversight.
I'm talking with Pamela Lopez about the proposed harassment protocols at the California Legislature. She is the president of Work Equity. So, Pamela, you have history now to compare to, and because of your own story, with Assemblyman Matt Dubovny, and he resigned as a result, a story of harassment. How did that process, when you look back, go now when you filed that complaint and that process? And then compare that, if you would, to how it might look if that were the case today and this were a new complaint.
Well, I don't think that the proposal that has been released by the legislature goes into so much detail to sort of explain what the process would feel like to a victim of severe sexual harassment or sexual assault. I can tell you in my case that I think that the investigation process was handled very well, but that it was also still very hard for me as a victim to go through the process. Ultimately, an independent investigator was assigned to investigate Dubovny, and that investigation, as I understand, is still ongoing because the investigation is about Dubovny and not about the many women that have accused him. So all of those women have to be interviewed, and I was a part of that process. The interview was done very professionally. It was conducted appropriately. It was also long, and it was exhausting. And so my heart goes out to any woman who has to sit in a room with very professional, well-behaved attorneys, but nonetheless has to sit there for many hours and recount the details of an experience of sexual assault or severe sexual harassment. I'm heartened that the legislature's proposal for the future gets even more clear around defining that those who conduct the investigation are subject matter experts on sexual harassment and sexual assault, and that they are an independent body from the legislature. But again, the questions around transparency for our organization, for work equity, come up when we see that that independent body ultimately hands off their findings and their recommendations to the legislature. If an elected legislator is being investigated, they are still ultimately only to be held accountable by their peers, and we want to know that there is some public transparency around the decision that they make if it differs from the recommendation produced by that independent body.
So one of the features of the new policy is that it would unify, for the first time, a policy for both the Assembly and the Senate. How important do you think that design is to the success of this new complaint process?
Very important. I have been legislative staff, and so I can say both from my own recollection and from speaking with many women in Sacramento who are now a part of the work equity organization and have had the experience of sexual harassment or assault and then coming forward and trying to get redress through the legislature, that when you work in the Assembly or the Senate, it feels like you work in the building. And that's actually the term that we all use for the Capitol. I work in the building. There is no divide between the Assembly offices and the Senate offices. You pass easily from Senate office to Assembly office and back and forth. And so for folks who are employed there, it feels like you work in one cohesive place. And so one cohesive policy is really important, not only because from the perspective of a survivor, it feels like you work in one place, but also because we know that there had been a history of the legislature passing problems from one house to the other and telling victims who tried to step forward, oh, you know, we can't do anything about this. The person that you've accused is, you work in the Senate, and the person that you've accused is in the Assembly.
So here we are in the summer of 2018, and if you were approached by a young female staffer, she had her own story of harassment, how would you advise her? Would you tell her to take some precautions before filing a complaint under this new system?
The most important message that I would share with her, which I and many other of the women who are leading the work equity organization have shared with every victim of sexual harassment and sexual assault, women and men who have approached us, is that nobody has to walk in your shoes after this incident is over but you. And so whatever you decide to do is okay. If you want to step forward publicly, that's okay. If you don't want to step forward publicly and be named, that's okay. If you want to seek legal counsel, you should, and we can help you identify some attorneys. But you have every right to do what feels right for you. And the reason that that message is so important is because the entire purpose, and I think Tarana Burke, who coined the Me Too term, said this very well, the entire purpose of this movement is on healing for victims. Our goal is to help the women and men who have been hurt by sexual harassment and whose careers have been hurt by sexual harassment to be whole again. And so whatever it is that you need to do to feel whole again is the appropriate action for you. With that said, we can advise on how to connect with an attorney, how to connect with resources. We do advise that if victims want to follow the process, that they have an opportunity to at least consult with an attorney. But first and foremost, every victim of sexual harassment should never doubt that this process is about making themselves whole.
Pamela Lopez, thank you. Pamela Lopez is a lobbyist. She's also the president of Work Equity. She is the lobbyist and partner at her K Street Consulting. She's also one of the leaders who signed the We Said Enough letter last fall that sparked changes to how the Capitol handles harassment complaints. Pamela, thank you for being on Insight.
Thank you, Beth.
We have more on our website at capradio.org/insight. You're listening to Insight on your NPR station, Capital Public Radio.